Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Oh, You Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Oh, You Podcast. Today, we have an extra special guest, Rebbetzin Shoshana Schachter, who is with us because she has been working in the kashrus department for 3 or 4 months. Right, a little bit.
No, I'm just in training.
In training.
Yeah.
How long have you been with us, Rebbetzin Schachter?
20 years.
20 years. Okay.
And I never thought it would be that long.
How long did you think it would be?
A day. They'd fire me after one day. Didn't go. I'll tell you an interesting story with my hire.
Let's go.
I was working for a different company, Slim Fast, for 35 years. The company was being sold to Unilever. So we had a choice of either going with Unilever, where you start from scratch, or you get a package. We took the package, and I went on unemployment. And then 9/11 happened. And so they extended the unemployment from 6 months to 9 months. And I said, this is crazy. What, I'm gonna go shopping every day? You know, and it was the summer, it was Yontif or whatever. But then after Yontif, I said, no, this can't be. So my sister told me about an ad that was in the newspaper about the Orthodox Union looking for someone. At that time, Howie Katzenstein was still doing the interviewing. So I call him up on the phone. I'm interested in something part-time. And no, we don't have anything part-time available. And anyway, we have a policy that if the husband works in the company, the wife can't. My husband comes home and I said to him, did you ever hear of anything so crazy? I called the OU today and this is what they told me. If the husband works in the company, then the wife can't. So he says, good, I'll quit. Okay, well, that was the end of that thing. And then, so that must have been like November. And in February, we were going to Baltimore. My husband was going to speak there. So it happened to be the Rabbi Rabinowitz needed somebody part-time. So he called me up and he says, are you still available? We have something part-time. So that's how I started.
Okay. Lucky for us
worked out. Lucky for me.
But let's rewind a little bit.
Yes.
Let's start with the very beginning. Where are you from?
Brooklyn, Bensonhurst.
Bensonhurst. And that's you grew up in a big family, small family.
We were a family of 5 children. I'm the youngest of 5. And my father was a Rav in a shul and a Rosh Yeshiva in Tarva Das. And we grew up among Italians. And we learned to get along with everybody. And I think that helped us throughout all the years of knowing how to deal with people. My next door neighbor would mow his lawn to the tune of Adon Olam.
What does that mean?
Because in shul, he would hear them singing on Shabbos, Adon Olam. And one day, I hear Marco Panicali mowing down his lawn to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I know, oh my gosh, you know, he had the tune of Adon Olam.
You've always been kind of musical.
Yes.
Did that happen? And was that growing up in your family also?
Yes.
There's a lot of singing?
Yes. We're all singing. And there's not one grandchild or great-grandchild of my father's that can't sing or play some kind of instrument or something. Everyone.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. There's a notion that, especially this time of year, that singing is part of tshuva, right? That it brings us...
Don't get me started, because I'll start crying. Don't. I'm very into... My poor husband had to hear me playing chamol and maloch and all that, because I had to go through all the nagunim on the piano.
But you do play piano.
Yeah.
And you've been caught on piano playing with your husband. You know, while he sings or you sing.
Well, you know why? Because that story is a very special story.
Tell us.
The song is HaBen Yakir.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were dating, which was not long, I said to him that our family is very musical. We know a lot of nagunim and things like that. He had been in England and for his sukkahs, and he heard the family where he was staying. The boy came back from Gateshead, and he came back with the song HaBen Yakir, and he sang it. And the father of the boy said, could you sing it again? So he sang it so many times, and my husband got it also. So he knew that I wouldn't know that niggin because it just came back from England. So he sang it to me. And he said, did you ever hear this? And he sings it. And I said, no. He says, I thought you said you know all the niggunim. When he came home to my house, I played the whole thing from the one time hearing it. So like Mr. Kurt Rothschild said, he got his wife for a song.
That's how you met?
That's not how we met, but that happened. I mean, the whole thing only lasted, was 13 days that we, from the time we
days.
Met.
Yeah. Wow.
That's only because he had to wait for the letter from the Rav that it's okay.
So this is how many years ago that you met?
56.
56. And so 56 minus
it'll be
13.
57, yeah.
Minus 13 days is how long ago that you
okay.
met. Right? Okay. What's the atmosphere like?
In what?
In your home. I've had the zechus of being there a few times. What does a Shabbos table look like? What is?
So usually it's like six for Friday night and six for Shabbos, you know, whatever, depending who's calling. Over Rosh Hashanah, I must have had about 23 or 24 guys, you know, divided up for the meals. I find that there are a lot of stories. It's not learning, like in terms of you're saying over Gemara, and it's more the Rav this, the Rav that, the Rav this, and, you know, his menhagim, his this. When I was in Boston for Yontif, I mean, because of Yontif time now, but in general, the Rav used to this, they did. So, of course, these boys are hearing it the first time. I'm hearing it a million times already, but, you know.
So you could say over some of these stories.
For sure. I mean, you know, he wants the boys to know, you know, what to carry on the legacy of the Rav.
So important. Let's talk about your job here at the OU.
Oh, I do work too.
Yeah. What do you do?
Right now I do all the wires that come in, and then I do the collections.
Is there a piece of your job that you enjoy the most, enjoy the least?
I enjoy whatever I'm doing. Ever since COVID and we were able to work remotely, officially I was supposed to work here 3.5 days. I think I work here now about nine days a week.
Nine?
I mean, I'm working.
You're cutting down on your time.
2:30 in the morning and 3, because once it's there, you go over and say, oh, let me see, da-da-da. I'm working Matzah Shabbos, I'm picking up the stuff so that, I don't know. I just have to get out of the habit, but I can't.
How long did it take you? I guess it was less than 13 days to realize that Rav Schachter was Rav Schachter.
It's very funny that you're asking that, because my father knew his name before we met.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like I said, a Rebbe in Tarvadas. People had children looking for Shaduchim, etc. We happened to meet in a hotel. It's something that you wouldn't find now happening, or...
Meaning, not a shidduch, just you...
You want to hear the story? So what happened was that I had taken on a job. My parents always went away for Shabbos Nachmu. I was the last one left in the house, mm-hmm. still single. And my parents wanted to go again for Shabbos Nachmu. My place where I worked closed July 1st to the 15th. There was a very common thing in many places that they would close the first 2 weeks in July. So I told my father, I'm in a new job. I can't go after they're closed for 2 weeks and go again like a week later away. So we won't go away this year. Okay. But then as it came up, no, we will go away. So they decided they'll go during the time that I was going to be off. So at that time, there was a convention in Hotel Israel, which doesn't exist anymore, of Agudas HaRabbanim. My father didn't want to go there because he figured he'll see all the Rabbanim again. He's going on vacation. He doesn't, you know, need to...
Where was it?
In Woodridge or Wood, you know. Mm-hmm. And Herschel was supposed to go to Brisk. And he was going to leave after, you know, for Chodesh Elul, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And his mother said, why don't you go away with daddy? His mother didn't want to go. Why don't you go away with daddy, at least to go away before they break? So he didn't want to go to Hotel Israel because he figured he'll see all the rabbanim and they'll start hacking him with the shidduchim again. And he wanted to run away from that. So, okay. So he wound up going to the same place that we wound up going. So my parents left earlier. I worked that week. And then like for Shabbos, I was going to go. And then it was going to be those 2 weeks vacation. Herschel claims that he saw me getting off the bus on a Friday. My parents were already there. On Shabbos, my father leaned in the shul. And my father was a fantastic Baal Kol. He leaned in the mirror in Europe. And that's not like you're doing it here in America. You know, you find Baal Kol, there's a, when you're assigned and do it all the time, you know that you were something good. So after the laning, Herschel's father goes over to my father with Herschel, and he says, that was a beautiful laning. Are you a shamish and a shul, you know, that you lay so beautifully? He says, no, I'm a shtickler Rav, you know. Do you do anything else? Yeah, I'm Rashi and her. Then he says, he introduces himself as Rabbi Schechter. So my father looks at Herschel and he says, Herschel Schechter? So Herschel's father thought he meant the older Herschel mm-hmm. Schechter.
Right.
He says, no, I'm Melech Schechter, but this is my son Herschel. My father says, yeah, that's what I really mean. Are you really going to Eretz Israel? So My husband said, yeah, he's planning to go, whatever. Okay. After the davening, there was a break, like Kiddush and a break till lunch. By the way, Reb Moshe was there at the same time as we were there. And he's walking with my mother and says, you know who's here? Herschel Schechter. He's taka going to Eretz Yisrael. My mother said, let him go to Eretz Yisrael. We have plenty here. We don't, you're fine, you know, whatever. So then Herschel realizes that I'm sitting with my parents by the table. Okay. That Shabbos afternoon, Rebbetzin Feinstein comes over to me that there's a boy from Tiferes Yerushalayim and she wants me to meet the guy. So I don't go out like that. You know, somebody walks over and says, that's not how it was done. So she says to me, I said, but she must have said, I'm going to go over to her. When you see me coming to her, go over. Because what happened was this guy was, they had a table for single people, mm-hmm. men. And this guy said to Herschel, is there any single life in the Glen Wild Hotel? So he says, if you want a single life, you don't come to the Glen Wild Hotel. You go to the Pioneer, you know, whatever was there at that time. He says, but you know, there's a very lovely girl that's sitting, you know, blah, 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 father's a Rosh Shiva. So she probably went over to Rebbetzin Feinstein. And then that's what happened. She came over to me. Anyway, I had no interest at all, but I had no choice. Okay. The reason I really didn't want to go is because I didn't want Herschel to see me with somebody else. But meanwhile, he did see me. And he said to himself, what an idiot I am. Why did I tell him to go? So the next day, he went to my father and he said, your daughter looks very young. Is she holding by Shidduchim?
Wow.
Would that happen nowadays? Never. So he said, she just started, you know, whatever, I'll speak to her. We went out that night and that was it.
13 days later. Did he end up going to Brisk?
No. In fact, we got married 66. There was next year was 67 more. We went there to Israel the summer of 68. My husband had money for Reb David Soloveitchik and Reb Beryl Soloveitchik that Rabbi Gorelick had given him to give to them. So we figured we're not going to go in the 9 days. We'll go after, because he still gives shiurim. We're not going to give. Yep. We'll go after Tisha B'Av. Okay. So we go to Reb Beryl. And he says, Schechter, weren't you supposed to come to my yeshiva? So he said, yes. So he says, so what happened? So he said, you know, I was supposed to go, but I met my wife and we got married and that. So I have married guys in the yeshiva. Why didn't you come? Well, you know, I need parnasa, you know. Parnasa? He says, he tells over that his father, Reb Chaim, was in Europe and he didn't want the children to learn the language of the country. So they said to him, Reb Chaim, you know, your children have to know the language. They have to, they'll need a parnasa. So he says, what kind of parnasa? He said, if he's a tailor, he has to speak to the people, you know. So he says, so he won't be a tailor. And if he's a shoemaker, he also has to speak to the people. So he won't be a shoemaker. So he says, an arman beta kenazayin, he'll be able to be a poor person. So he'll be a poor person. So he says to my husband, I have a parnasa for you. You'll be a poor person. So I turned to him and I said, and who's going to bring the money from America? So when he heard that comment, he switched off from my husband and he started talking to me. So then he realizes that I have a laryngitis. And I don't know anything about bris. So he says to me, what's with your voice? So I said, oh, no, you know, who makes anything out of laryngitis, right? Except the brisker, right? So he says, did you see a doctor? I said, no. He says, why not? I said, you know, it was Friday when I got it, and then it's Shabbos, and Tisha B'Av was a nitcha. So I said, and then it was going to be Tisha B'Av, you know. We went on Monday. So he says, they fasten and Nigavan came fasting. Your fasting wasn't considered a fasting because I had laryngitis and I fasted. I remember walking out of there and I said, am I supposed to eat twice today? You know, like, what was he trying to tell me? You know, I didn't know that the brisker had this thing, A, that women in general don't fast and any slight, certainly, anything, you know.
You're sick. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my brisker story, too.
I'm sure you have
stories.
I'm sure you have stories and stories, and hope this isn't your last podcast because there's lots to talk about. We do a thing.
A what?
We do a little thing called rapid fire questions. This is where I ask questions and you give short one word answers. Are we ready?
No.
Good.
That's the first
question. You're getting it. You already got it. If you take a gold leaf and hold it up to the light, what color does it look like?
Gold.
Among land animals, what species has the largest eyes?
Cats.
Which continent has hosted the Olympics the most times?
Was my husband in the Olympics, that's for sure.
How many laps does it take around the OU office to make a mile?
3.
What was the most popular honey at the OU snack day last week? Key lime, pumpkin, vanilla, coconut, or cocoa?
I was looking for clover.
Okay. You got them all right? You got them all right.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
We now go to something called Turn the Tables. You get to ask me any question you want.
How do you compare being here as opposed to YU? We'll turn the table on you.
That's good. That's a good question. A lot of similarities.
Which way?
Number one, passionate people who are working for Klal Yisrael, right? Just, you have passionate students at YU, you have passionate participants, whether it's a Yachad or a JLIC, an NCSY, Torah, women, all the programs. You have a lot of people who are figuring out their way and finding their way and getting excited about Kadosh Baruch Hu and about Judaism, about Torah. So there's a lot of similarities in that way. Differences, you know, there's a pressure in school that flows at certain times of the year.
Exam time.
Paper time, mm-hmm. Graduation time. Over here, there's also pressure, but it doesn't have that same consistent cadence.
Depends on what's coming up.
So I find that in some ways, during some years, it was a little more predictable at YU, except for when, you know, other curveballs would happen. But in general, I find that that over here, you know, the seasonal thing isn't quite the same. One of the opportunities here at the OU is that you get to see a real broad swath not just of the Jewish community in general, but of the Orthodox community, that, you know, when I was at YU, you know, there's a diversity there, but over here, I learned about whole pieces of the Jewish, of the Orthodox world that I didn't really have exposure to before. It's been fascinating. It's been a great learning opportunity for me. So it's one of the highlights, one of the differences.
Could you see a change happening in society?
So when I said one question that you get to ask me, did you take that to mean you could ask me like...
Why not?
So change in, what do you mean change in society?
No, because I was speaking to Shai this week, and he said something very interesting, and I wonder if you feel the same way. He feels that there's going to be a very strong shift. It's either that the people are going to become more Haredi, not, I don't mean Haredi saying, you know, whatever, but because they're coming back from Eretz Yisrael, they're more learned now than they were years ago. There won't be that much of modern Orthodox because they are changing within their homes because of when they come back and things are different than when they were growing up. And there'll be more of a split of like going the other way, like not from at all.
Yeah.
Do you see that at all?
There definitely is a growth on the right. There's no question about it. You look at the data from schools, just the data that we have from Teach that they recently put together, the growth in the Haredi and Yeshivish, Chassidish communities in terms of young, more people in schools. There's no question about that there's a growth there. I don't see a diminishment in the modern Orthodox community. See diversification of it, right? And so, you know, the more Hasidic type and neo-Hasidic or, you know, part of the modern Orthodoxy.
That became very interesting thing.
Yeah. And so I do see, you know, what Rav Shai is saying, you know, in terms of a growing diversity. And there's concern, I think, sometimes you go into your corner, and we're not talking to each other. So I think what he's saying, there's a lot of wisdom to that. Okay. A lot of wisdom to that. If somebody were to say, Rav Zinshachter, here's $1 million, start a program at the OU, what would you focus on?
We mean my piano. No, I'm kidding.
We do have one here.
No, I'm kidding. What would I focus on? I don't know if I would say I would focus on, because I think depending when the money would come and what are the issues that are coming up at that time would be what's important.
Of all the Gedolim that you've met in your life, and I'm sure there's many, which one made the most lasting impression?
The one person that I do see that people probably wouldn't consider like a gadol, but like, for example, when I see somebody like Rav Amar, and I see he's so gentle and he's so sweet and he could talk to everyone, and that impresses me, the menschlichkeit that's in the person.
Well, that's pretty special in and of itself, the fact that it's an important message for all of us, and certainly the Rosh Yeshiva is somebody who exemplifies that anava and that menschlichkeit, and
he could deal with anyone. It doesn't matter.
And yet I feel probably sometimes people knock on the door or call Rav Shachter at all kinds of times and all kinds of hours, and not always so easy to be.
But you have to. You never. My kids used to have sort of like a taina to me. You're in the middle of eating, like, why are you taking the phone? And I always had this thing in my head, you never know who's calling and what they need. There could be a Shiloh that comes up, which he gets very often now, end of life or something like that. You can't just say, you know, call me back in 2 hours, you know, when it means they need an answer now.
So if it's 24/7 for him, it's 24/7 for you.
It's more me than him.
How come?
Because he's not home a lot of times. So I have to take the message. I have to make sure to give the message. I have to make sure he calls back the person. I have to make sure that if I tell the person call back at 7, the next person I say call 7:15, and the next one I say call 7:30. You know what I mean? So it is a 24/7 for me. It is more than him because he's in the yeshiva. Right. So he has them in the yeshiva. So people are speaking to him and asking him and whatever. But I have it at home all the time.
It's an amazing job that you've had for it's 57 years almost.
It's a lot.
Yeah. There's a picture.
Yes.
Of you.
My husband.
With your husband and Lubavitcher Rebbe.
Right.
Is there a
so my daughter
story
got engaged,
behind the picture?
My daughter got engaged and Reb Alter Metzger, who taught him YU at that time, is Lubavitcher. And he gives my husband Mazel Tov and he says, would you like to get a bracha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe? So my husband, he says, I'll ask my daughter, see what she says. How shy. So he came home and he said, would you want to go to Lubavitcher Rebbe and get a bracha? So my daughter said, yeah, of course. And then we go to Tannisville. So word gets around that my husband's going to come. So there was a guy there who just passed away this summer, Yankel Rubin. He heard that my husband's going to go to Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he said, bring the Rebbe article on Land for Peace. So my husband said, the Rebbe doesn't need my article. He has his own thing. I'm telling you, bring your article for Land for Peace. So, okay. We go to the Rebbe. You know, they take us on to the line where you don't have to wait forever, you know, and the Rebbe gives a bracha, he gives him the $2, you know, and this one, $2, whatever. And then my husband has in a manila envelope his article, and he says, Yankel Rubin said I should give you my article, you know, so the Rebbe says, oh, for an article, Moyes Kainis, you know, the Rei Halacha Moyes Kainis, you know, he gives him another $2 or whatever. And that's it.
Rebbetzin, is there a bracha you can give us here at the OU? Something that you wish for us?
I think that you should all try to be very, very matzliach. Do your work with all your heart, and then I think you will be matzliach.
Amen. Thank you. You know, you joked about getting out the piano. We actually brought a keyboard.
What? Why did you bring it?
To maybe, I don't know, maybe you could play us a song. We've got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we have lots of good tunes.
Where is it?